League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
And we are back. It is Monday night. I'm David Gao, the boss. Sitting next to me, the Gloss, the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. And behind the glass is Ron Culver. Welcome in, everyone.
Good to be back.
Well, it is interesting. You have rebounded nicely because last night I was watching the Rockets game at home. It ended around 10:40 at night. I was watching in bed. Great ending to the game. Rockets win. We're broadcasting live from Houston. Everyone in Houston was happy. And I thought, well, the Gloss is in the crowd now, and the stadium was packed. You had a long drive home. You went to bed late last night.
Yeah, the Rockets kept us, made sure we stayed in our seats until the waning seconds.
Yes, for a minute it looked like they were going to pull away and you could have left early, but they allowed the Timberwolves to come right back into that game.
Yep, 104-101, three-point squeaker. But it kept it good. It kept it interesting.
But something happened to you at the game.
You're really going
to
go there.
Well, because I've never known anybody to whom this has happened.
Well, it happened.
It happened to our very own The Gloss. Just a little context. She's sitting amongst about 20,000 people in the downtown Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. The camera turns to her. It is the kiss cam. She looks to her left. She looks to her right. She has to kiss somebody. What was it like to kiss somebody in front of 20,000 people?
Well, I looked to the left. That wasn't my husband. Okay. I looked to the right. That was. I decided to go right.
Oh,
it was a good decision. I still got a ride home. So
you still made it home.
But you know, I knew.
You're saying you swiped right.
Yes, I swiped right.
She swiped right for her man friend.
Yeah, what's that app that you swipe for?
Oh, you know, woman.
I have no idea.
I think it is one of the
Bumble. I believe Tinder.
Tinder, is that what it is?
Of course. Okay. As if I'm the expert on all things Tinder.
Really?
You know, I've had an extraordinary week as well on my history and relationships. Nothing like getting on the kiss cam.
Well, do tell.
Well, I'll tell you maybe next segment. Maybe it'll come out. The threatening letter that I got.
Oh, yeah.
All of the drama in the Gao household. It was quite a week.
Yeah,
as I was threatened. I'll just tease this one. I was threatened. I got a letter, a blackmail letter from somebody saying he would reveal all of my misdeeds to my wife and to the general public if I didn't pay him money. More on that when we return. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, since you were willing to come clean about your moment on a kiss cam and what took place in front of all those people.
Well, you did reveal it first, so I had to follow up. But yes, okay.
I'll come clean what happened in the Gao house this week. It was a bizarre week. I got a letter, and it was an ominous letter. From a man who said that he knew all about my misdeeds and he was going to tell my wife and he was going to tell everyone I knew, all my friends on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And they knew your names.
They knew my names. They knew everything. And they said that they had hard evidence of all my misdeeds and I had to pay $8,750 or else he would reveal everything. And so what do you do with that? Can we tell us the deal? You don't get a blackmail letter like that every day. I mean, Ron, are you getting these things in the mail?
No, but that's such a bizarre amount.
Isn't it? And it was in Bitcoin, wasn't it?
Well, I would have had to take the dollars and go to convert them in Bitcoin and then pay them on a Bitcoin account so there would be no traces of what had taken place.
Was this a Nigerian prince who sent you the email?
Well, it's in that ilk. It's that kind of a scam, right? Turns out this letter has gone out to thousands of men across the country. I was not the isolated target. Thankfully.
Wait, wait. So you're saying you're not the only David Gao?
Yeah, right.
Are you out there?
Right. He is the only clean David Gao. We know that.
Well, I was
That's the good news.
Clean enough to call my wife in and say, look at what happened here. Anyway, it's all behind us now. It's been reported. We've turned it all over. But it is a national phenomenon. So if you are listening and you are a male and you have received this letter and your misdeeds are seemingly about to be revealed to the world unless you make a big payment, take a deep breath.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. It's just a scam. Don't write that check.
And the police knew. I mean, they knew about this when you called them, right?
Other people have reported. Yeah. It was not just unique to us. And this is a guy who's obviously trying to profit on other people's mistakes or concerns or secrets. But you think about it, if you send thousands and thousands of letters out to many, many men and say this and make them feel like their misdeeds, their worst secrets are about to become public, there are a lot of people who will write a good sized check.
Wait, look at Ron Culver right now. He's on his knees doing the sign of the cross.
Uh-oh. Oh, he is Uh-oh. Nodding. I mean, he's actually pulled out his checkbook. I mean, my goodness.
No, I thought for sure that email was, I mean, I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's clean.
He's clean. That's good.
No misdeeds on his part. All right, but back to the Rockets. You were there. You were smooching in front of the world and the kiss cam.
Gosh, I know. Just could hardly pay attention to that fabulous game in front of me.
I guess just one last question on that. Is a kiss better when 20,000 people are watching?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Just asking.
Oh, and then you can see yourself on the giant jumbotron. I was like, oh.
This may be the closest we ever get to a Carla Dawson video.
But I want to be clear. It was a cheek kiss. It was sweet, and it was very G-rated.
Okay.
Not all of them on the kiss cam.
No, sometimes they start rolling around on each other.
Oh, my gosh. There was a little bit of that. I didn't appreciate that by other people.
But that followed you later
on the
kiss
cam. I set the standard, and then they went off pace. You know, what can I say?
All right, but your observations of the Rockets, they get game one.
They haven't played a meaningful game in a long time. Yeah, honestly, they haven't.
There was a little rust in that team.
Yeah. I mean, at one point, their three-point shooting percentage, which is their bread and butter, was 12%.
Yep.
In the late in the first half. But, you know, what makes the Rockets special is that they are a complete team and that the system of D'Antoni's is not just threes and then there's not another option. It's, you know, iso ball. And you've got two of the best handlers in the game with Harden and Paul. And then you've got pace setting. I mean, D'Antoni lets them set their own pace based on what's needed. So like you saw Harden last night, his three-point shot was not falling. So he would get out on the perimeter. If they gave him space and time, he'd shoot it. If they didn't, he was firing to the basket with, you know, four defenders around him, up, in, through, and two.
Yep.
Unreal.
And his alley-oops to Chris Capella, when they're on, they are a really great duo.
They are. I thought last night, I'm watching the yin to their yang right now. Those two have an unbelievable chemistry. I mean, everybody talks about Chris Paul, James Harden, because they are the big names and, you know, they've got the experience.
Multi-year all-stars
and
current reigning MVP, James Harden.
Yes, hopefully. That's the plan. But really, Clint Capella completes that picture, and he is kind of I called him last night. I told my husband, I said, this is like the silent assassin. Because with the three of them together on the court, when they're all playing, the record is 42-3.
Mm.
42-3. And Capella, by halftime, when the entire team was struggling, Ariza, P.J. Tucker, Eric Gordon, James Harden was struggling. I mean, still had 20 points, but couldn't get his, you know, long shot to go. Chris Paul had 4 points. Clint Capella, his average against the Timberwolves, like 18 points, two blocks. He had 22 points by, you know, 20-something points by halftime and already had two blocks. He ended with three blocks. I mean, he already went above his season average by halftime. He was incredible. And even when Harden was rushing to the basket and you thought he was going to shoot a layup, up it went, and then Capella comes out of nowhere and slams it home.
Yep, a great alley-oop off the dish.
Beautiful alley-oop. Several.
So Chris Paul gave a big shout-out to Capella, and let's go to Chris Paul's take on Capella because, as you said, Harden and Paul get most of the glory, but Capella has been instrumental.
It's been perfect. Like, it's unbelievable the way that we get a chance to talk and communicate. I know sometimes he gets tired of hearing me and James. You know what I mean? Telling him to set the screen this way or roll this way, man. But it's crazy. I mean, y'all know the record when we all play together. And I tell you, it's not because of me and James. You know what I mean? Like he's really the X factor because the threat of him at the rim is why I get my floaters, why I get my mid-range. So he's really the X factor.
Well, they have a deep team, but that big three has to include Capella.
And I love Chris Paul saying he's the reason I get my mid-range,
yep.
I get my floaters, because CP3 is the only one, honestly, on that team that shoots a mid-range jumper consistently. And Capella is the feeder, but he just tirelessly, he'll block a shot, and then he's sprinting down to the other end. This is not a small guy. And I heard James Harden talking about him as well in the presser last night and just said that his work ethic is beyond. Like, he is unreal how hard he works and it just tries to get better. And he just really secrets out, I think. He is really a force to be reckoned with.
Okay, so you were there. This is the number one seed in the Western Conference playing at home in the opening of the playoffs, and yet it came down to a final three-point shot. Did you feel the Rockets didn't show well? Are we yet to see their best basketball, or is this what we're going to see in the playoffs?
This is not what we're going to see in the playoffs.
Okay.
I do think, you know, just like I mentioned earlier, it's clear they have not played a meaningful game in a couple weeks since they nailed the number one seed and best overall record in the NBA. It's hard to get up in this long season to keep that going, and it showed last night. But here's why I think they won't continue like this. Well, first of all, it was like there was Saran wrap over the basket for at least the first 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, a lot of near misses.
And rim outs and this kind of thing. But James Harden has heard all of the noise from last year, from the Game 6 collapse in San Antonio where he just went MIA.
Yep.
And he is on a mission. And like he did last night when no one else, you know, besides Capella was doing a whole lot. Well, I'm going to take that back. On the scoreboard, doesn't look like anyone's doing a whole lot. But Trevor Ariza couldn't put anything in last night, but his defense was unbelievable. So Harden is going to make sure they're going to go as far as he can will them to. And he had 13 points in the fourth quarter and really was the difference maker. He wants to quiet this noise. He loves this team.
Well, he'll get his opportunity this offseason. Let's shift gears. Perhaps the most exciting game was the Celtics win over the Bucks.
There's, I mean,
that
boys.
Was exciting down to the wire. I mean, Middleton's shot there to tie it and send it into overtime was, what, way out, 40-something feet, and he nailed it.
It really was about 40 feet out. And that was right after Terry Rozier, who's starting in place of Kyrie Irving for the Celtics, third-year NBA, hit this beautiful three-pointer, just tough shot to even, you know, get the game close.
Sure.
So it was super exciting.
Well, I have to give Brad Stevens a lot of credit because the Celtics have dealt with a ton of adversities from game one when they lost Gordon Hayward. Now they don't have Kyrie Irving. Injuries of Marcus Smart's not even playing for them. Yet they've developed these young kids. I mean, this is not the year they're going to go deep into the playoffs. But the development that's happened for both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown this year really position the Celtics well as we look ahead. So anyway, I give Brad Stevens a lot of credit for getting that team to the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, ahead of the Cavaliers, ahead of the 76ers. They may not go this year, but they are well positioned looking ahead.
When you look at their record with the last 18 or so games without Kyrie, they're 12-6.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose your main player, best ISO player in the NBA, as I always say, because he is, and you can still, that's a great winning percentage. And their defensive rating has stayed exactly the same. The offensive has dropped a little bit, which you can expect with Kyrie. But to keep that defensive intensity, that is a credit to Brad Stevens and how he can keep his team.
So he's on my short list for Coach of the Year.
I'm with you. Yeah. I agree.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to talk to the legendary Bob Nightingale about all things MLB. We'll ask him how he feels about the local team here, the Houston Astros, and what is plaguing the Yankees. When we return on the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, we are still waiting on Bob Nightingale, the legendary baseball analyst for USA Today. But while we're waiting on him, I do want to tie out some of our NBA talk. Mm-hmm. Big win for the Celtics, big win for the Rockets, and a big win for the Pacers. really an extraordinary win. They looked good.
Oh, I love that you brought them up because we ended the last segment by you saying, rightfully so, Brad Stevens is, you know, one of your votes for coach of the year candidate.
Yep.
Well, don't forget about Nick McMillan from Indianapolis. I was going to think, oh, I'm bummed we're ending this segment because he deserves a mention. And most improved player, my front runner is Victor Oladipo. How about Victor?
Well, he was outstanding. I mean, his shooting from outside. I mean, he had an axe to grind. I mean, you think there is a revenge element there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And he, wow, you couldn't have done more.
Well, the one thing I might highlight, you have a special set of skills. The gloss does. Do you remember in the great movie Taken that Liam Neeson says, I have a special set of skills. You have these skills, right? Oh, so the Celtics were playing the Greek Freak, who has a name that only you can pronounce. What is his name?
Oh, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Thank you.
Yes.
And the player for the Pacers who lit it up from outside over and again?
Victor Oladipo?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's got that same rhythm to it, doesn't it?
I just have to work on Frank Ntilikina from the New York Knicks because it sounds easy, but
yes.
Have you seen the spelling? It's like Ntilinka.
You have a special set of skills. You pronounce names like no one I know.
Oh, isn't that a talent? I can't speak half the time, but I can pronounce names.
Yeah, but you got the names.
I got the names.
Okay, so they looked really good. And, of course, now LeBron has his first opening game loss in a playoff series ever.
In
21 times. That really is, I don't know what's more remarkable. I mean, the 21, I mean, that's a...
That's what I was thinking. I mean, wow.
What are the odds of that? Because there's so many things that can happen in an NBA playoff game. Clearly, he usually is able to set the tone and come out with a win game one. Credit the Pacers.
Credit the Pacers. They were ready. And, you know, Victor Oladipo said in his postgame presser that, you know, no, I'm not out to get anybody. I mean, what happened. I'm just trying to be the best Victor Oladipo I can be. Well, pretty much he was. That was great.
Someday I wish I could be the best Victor Oladipo I could ever be.
See,
just to say the name Victor Oladipo. I mean, it just runs off the tongue.
Doesn't it?
Well, off yours. Off nobody else's. I'm learning from you.
No, you got it. You got it down.
All right, 76ers with a good win.
Oh, that
Ben
was great.
Simmons is growing up before our eyes. It's funny that he's called a Rookie of the Year. Of course, it's technically his first season. He will be Rookie of the Year. But he looks really dominant. He looks like he's come of age.
He really has. Do you think he should be eligible for Rookie of the Year?
I'm okay with it.
I am too.
I like the fact that he's going to get recognition for what is a really great season. Certainly, he deserves Rookie of the Year more than the true rookie on that team, Markus Fultz, who's not really been able to contribute most of the year with his injuries.
Right.
But Simmons is electric. I mean, his play was outstanding yesterday. I think look at the way the 76ers finished that season. They are a team to watch in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Celtics and all their injuries, with Kyrie out, with Marcus Smart out, the Celtics not being the Celtics, with the Cavaliers stumbling just a bit here and perhaps not being the Cavaliers of old, maybe LeBron can't take them the distance, and Toronto doesn't really strike fear into anybody.
Boy, they don't, but they did get a first game win, which Toronto has not done.
Okay, give them some credit.
I do give them credit for that, but I think what you said about the 76ers is important to note, that they are coming in as the number 8 seed, which most people kind of slough off. But to get there, they ended the season on an NBA best 16-game winning streak. That's what they had to do to get to the number 8 seed. And that's hard. And 8 of those 16 games were without Joel Embiid, who's out with an orbital fracture, but I think facial fracture is coming back soon.
He'll be back in another game or two.
And they have the second best overall winning percentage, second only to Houston. That's incredible, their win percentage. I think this is amazing. This is the trust the process.
Well, did you see? Now, I don't know that I would like this if I were one of the players, but there were chants in the stadium, trust the process, mm-hmm. trust the process. Mm-hmm. And what it implies to me is it's okay. We're endorsing the fact that we lost for all those years. We tanked for all those years to get some of these good players. I guess if I were a player, I might spin it in my head as a positive. It's sort of a statement that, well, we're glad we waited for you. We're glad that we trusted the process and got Joel Embiid and got
Ben Simmons,
Markus Fultz, and Ben Simmons.
Fultz.
Sure, the process has rendered these guys, but still, I don't know. Trust the process is not the best chant I think you could pull out in a stadium.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try and put a silver lining
Give
on
it
that
to
because
me.
I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think what is good about it, Philly is a very sports mature town.
No
and
doubt.
And right now, they're the epicenter of sports with the Super Bowl champion Eagles, and they've got Villanova Wildcats.
Sure.
That, you know, won the Final Four. National championship. So these are sports fans that know what they're talking about. So they have been in the basement with the 76ers for a long time, and they realize you cannot go from the basement to the tip top in a year. It's not going to happen. I mean, that's the reality. And this is the problem with a lot of sports towns, LA, you know, New York. It's not going to happen with one player automatically. So I think that 2 years ago, they won 10 games. 10. Diez. That's it.
That is bleak.
So you really think this is working? I mean, they were the last time in the playoffs. They were the last year they were in the playoffs was 2012.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they do make the finals, if they do make it, it probably isn't this year, but let's say they really do put this all together and Fultz comes back. I mean, Fultz is a player.
He looks great now.
You add him into that mix and they do really go on to be a championship team. It almost sanctions or validates tanking. And that's a scary thing for the NBA.
You bring up a great point, and that's an issue with Adam Silver, the commissioner, and it should be.
Yeah, they're going to have to address that.
Right, they're going to have to address that for sure. But you know what doesn't help that argument is that there is a 10,000-person wait list for season tickets for the 76ers right now. 10,000.
So the whole process worked. I mean, that's the rub.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, trust that process. Yeah, we do. So go Philly. I mean, they're on a roll.
Okay.
Pretty exciting. Now, so are the you know, anyway, yes.
Well, going back to Cleveland for a minute, mm-hmm. I want to talk about LeBron James because one of the sort of notable funny things that came out as the playoffs unfolded is LeBron said he's going dark. He's not going to be part of social media. This is what Day three, we've had to survive without any social media from LeBron James. How are you faring? Have you been okay? Are you going through shakes? Are you in withdrawal, not getting any social media from LeBron James?
You know, didn't you see the veil I had over my face before I walked in?
I noticed you looked a little somber.
I said zero dark 30 right here.
Zero dark 30. Zero Dark 30 is when they rescued Osama, Osama bin Laden.
Well, there's that too.
Yes, they rescued Osama bin Laden. Zero Dark 30, great movie, great story. They got him out, okay? Now, what does this have to do with LeBron going dark on social media?
Well, this is very LeBron being LeBron. I mean, you're exactly right. Zero Dark 30, it's an award-winning film. I mean, this isn't just like some random documentary that dramatized this decade-long hunt for Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
How in the world does it not give you cause to pause that LeBron feels the need to say Zero Dark 30, 23 activated to announce his self-imposed social media blackout to a hunt for Osama bin Laden?
I don't see the connection.
SMH on that one. I really, but you know, that is so LeBron. He is bigger than life and he's got the talent to back it up. So we're talking about it.
Well, you know, he has about 50 million Twitter followers. And I mean, his social media footprint.
43 million.
Okay, it's an amazing footprint, right? It's unlike anybody else's in basketball.
But do you know that that is not even the most Twitter followers for an athlete? Do you know who beats LeBron?
No, help me.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Really?
Yes. Is that crazy? That just shows you how nuts, you know, soccer is.
Yeah, he has a worldwide following.
Worldwide, yes.
Certainly in the U.S., it must be LeBron. Worldwide, I'll give it to Ronaldo.
But LeBron also has a paltry number of Instagram followers in about 36 million.
He better get going. He's got to work on that. But if he goes dark to the plus, so here's the over. Can he go dark throughout the playoffs if his team is losing? Won't he feel a need to somehow justify his play or explain what's taking place?
You mean if they get knocked out? Or
let's
just
say if they get down
the
3-1 or 3-0 to the Pacers. He's got to say something, doesn't he?
He won't on social media. He'll do exactly what he did in his press conference yesterday, which said, hey, we were down 3-1 in the finals. And
right.
He's got the last laugh,
right.
Basically.
Right.
So, but if they do happen to get knocked out before the finals, I will be curious to see if the ban gets lifted, if it's no longer, if it's zero light 30.
Well, I know it's been hard for you going these days without anything
That's
from
right.
LeBron, but
I'm really trying
hang
to find
in
another
there.
Vice.
Hang in there.
Thank
it'll
Thank
be okay.
You for
All right. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk some NFL. Actually, when we come back, Bob Nightingale is going to join us. So we will talk some MLB with Bob Nightingale. Stay tuned.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. You're listening to SB Nation Radio, and we have joining us now Bob Nightingale, the legendary MLB analyst for USA Today. Bob, welcome into the show.
Jim, my pleasure. How you doing?
We are doing great, and both of us are longstanding readers of yours, so it's a real treat to have you. We thought we'd start out by asking you about Shohei Ohtani, who has lit up the Angels and really been a fun story to start the season. When we look at it, one of the striking questions, well, what kind of impact do you think he's had on the Angels? Can he sustain this dual role pace as a pitcher and a hitter?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a huge impact on the Angels. I mean, they need an ace, and he's that guy.
Yep.
Obviously, it's that nice bat, too, particularly toward the bottom of the lineup. You know, they're going to have to move him up at some point if he keeps doing what he's doing. They're moving him up to seventh in the lineup, and there's a last start. I'm not sure we can, you know, keep up the offensive part. I think it's going to be so draining that doing both, particularly as the season, you know, is such a grind. But I think pitching-wise, he's got a chance to be, you know, a 15-18, game winner, you know, in a true ace with his stuff. I just don't expect him to keep hitting like he is.
And, Bob, do you think with the success that he's having, and again, it is early, we're not even 20 games into the season, do you think more players, you know, coming up in the college ranks and in the minor leagues, do you think they're going to try and do what he's doing? And is it really that tough to try and do something like that?
I mean, it's really tough just because it's so hard to just do one or the other, let alone both. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't seen it since the days of, Babe Ruth. I don't think he could do it as an outfielder and pitch, but as a DH, it's only possible. And, yeah, we are seeing it a little bit more. The kid McKay that got drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays out of Louisville, now they're letting him do both. Hunter Green, who was the number two pick by the Cincinnati Reds, they're just letting him pitch, not hit. But I think Ohtani is able to do both and not get too worn down. I think we may see more and more of it. And I kids will want to do it more because it's such an exciting thing.
And to take you back a little bit, do you think Bo Jackson in his prime, could he have successfully pulled a Shohei in his day?
No. I cover Bo. I mean he's the best athlete I've been around. Mm-hmm. I think he could have been All-American gymnast or swimmer, whatever you want to do. But I don't think he could have pitched. He had a good arm. And I don't think he, if I can recall right, I don't remember him, you know, pitching in high school or certainly not in college. So I don't think he's getting on that as great as an athlete as he is.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports. So, Bob, the Red Sox off to a great start. Alex Cora, as a rookie manager, seems to be doing just about everything right. Talk about his role with the Red Sox.
Yeah, that was a gamble. I mean, he's never managed before. Limited experience as a bench coach for Houston. But that was a big question, whether he could do it or not. You know, in the first game, you know, they blew a 4-run lead late.
Yep.
Tim Roll, their closer, didn't get in the game. And he was taking a lot of criticism for it. But, you know, ever since, it's been he's pulled all the right strings. And even a game recently where he forgot to take an outfielder out for defensive purposes, Eugenio Martinez, he left him in. The next day, someone asked him about it. Instead of trying to cover it up, he says, hey, I messed up. That's my fault. And, so he's been very honest with the media there. The media has absolutely loved him.
And the rotation's been outstanding thus far, and they're about to get Drew Pomerantz back into that rotation. How good can that Red Sox starting staff become?
Yeah, outstanding, particularly with the way Sale has pitched. You know, you put Sale in the National League, I think he put up, you know, Clayton Kershaw numbers. But you, when you have Sale, that Porcello looks like he's back to what he was 2 years ago. You know, David Price has been very good. You know, last start had the numbers and figures, so he'll go Tuesday night against Ohtani. So those three guys are on. They're going to be very, very tough to beat.
So we've had a couple fight nights in this last week here, Bob, as you know, between New York and Boston and then San Diego and Colorado. Is this just baseball kind of naturally policing itself, or do you think this is an issue that actually needs to be addressed? And is it good for the game?
I mean, it actually is good for the game. I mean, people, I was in Boston for that, and I saw people talk about in Boston and New York. Was that, it was like, yeah, the rivalry's back, and, you know, nobody got hurt. And the fans love it. And I think with the you know, with those rivalries, particularly playing each other so often, it's going to lend itself more to that. I mean, right now you have like the Dodgers and you know, Giants playing 10 times in April. It's tough not to have some hostilities with everybody playing each other so often, particularly beginning the season. So as long as someone doesn't, you know, some major injury to a star from a brawl, as long as that doesn't happen, you know, I think it's fine for the game. It's been going on forever. And, you know, I think it's a way for these guys to, you know, to police themselves.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports. So we're broadcasting live here in Houston. The world champion Astros off to about a 10-6 start. It's a funny dynamic, though. It's almost in town. There's this feeling that, oh, maybe things aren't hitting on all cylinders yet. They haven't hit as well as we might have thought, but this is a team built to go into the postseason. We think, give us an outside perspective. You think the Astros are poised for a deep postseason run again?
Oh, I do. I think they're clearly the best team in baseball. You know, I know they don't have the best record, but I'll take them over anybody. I think it's spring training. I was predicting to win 110 games. I still think they can. I just think they're such a great team. You know, stroke of genius getting Garrett Cole for that pitching staff. They're an even better team than a year ago. Now you got Verlander all season long. So I really can't see anybody stopping in the regular season. Obviously, postseason, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, such a young team and athletic team, I'd be stunned if they don't go deep in October.
Yeah, Garrett Cole off to a great start. It's interesting, in the offseason, I thought their bigger need was to get a bona fide closer. Obviously, in the World Series, they didn't really have one. They deployed. But Cole has meant a lot to this staff and really helped the whole team in pitching.
Yeah, and then they, you know, what's nice too about a guy like Cole is he sees, I remember in spring training, I was there one morning, and there's Verlander kind of giving him tips. Packer was there too, and Cole listening in. And he was used to being kind of the veteran on the Pirate staff, you know, as young as he was. And now he's getting advice from these guys. It's almost like, you know, the great Braves teams with Maddux, Smoltz, and Glavine kind of rubbed off at each other. And I think the same thing's happening. I thought one of those two guys were going to win a Cy Young, either Cole or McCullers, just kind of learning off those guys and no one paying attention. And you need to face everybody else's 3 and 4 starters. You know, you got a nice little advantage. So, yeah, I think Cole was a great, great pickup.
And, you know, you mentioned the Pirates, too, Bob, and talking about Garrett Cole. So this year, it's so far starting out that we're seeing the downs going up in the Mets and the Angels and the Pirates and the Diamondbacks. What is the difference from last season? And this is a long season, as we all know. So are these early numbers any good indication of the future success of these clubs?
Well, I think with the Mets, you're seeing what they can do when they're healthy. Mm-hmm. I like this team a lot. They're my surprise pick. I just think, yeah, they're not going to be hurt every single year. And when their health is showing, they can be lights out. So I don't think they should be a big surprise just because they're healthy. That, you know, it's that simple. I don't expect the Pirates to keep doing this. I don't expect the Diamondbacks that you know, play at this clip. And the Dodgers playing so poorly either.
Right, right. And do you think there's a disadvantage, Bob, that to, you know, you look at L.A. and Houston, they played through till November. I mean, they've got a really short offseason compared to everyone else. And is that a disadvantage for, you know, people that go deep into the playoffs that the other 28 other teams aren't moving on that long? And then your other teams are able to scout you very well deep into the playoffs. Do you think that makes it a little tougher when you're trying to kick off the next season?
Well, I think it's easy to have a World Series hangover, you know, just the especially when you win it. It's like, okay, I won it. You know, what's next in my career? I already did that. But, you know, the teams that keep on going back-to-back, they're the ones that are remembered. You know, the teams that win back-to-back World Series. You know, Atlanta Braves, you made the playoffs 14 straight years. You know, never complain about anything. I think what you got to do a lot of times if you go deep is to shake up of the team a little bit. And I think that's what the Astros did by getting Cole. It's like, hey, we're not going to rest on our laurels. Let's go out and try to improve it. The Dodgers rest on their laurels. That's the one thing is like, you know, maybe they're paying the price now. It's like, hey, you're going with the same group of guys without shaking up a little things. You know, John Schoholt, that great Braves GM, used to always just shuffle the roster up just a little bit year after year, just to make things a little fresh and get some guys that are hungry in that clubhouse.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports. Okay, let's look at the Yankees. Stanton off to a slow start. He doesn't know how to hit anymore. What happened?
You know, we see it all the time when guys get, especially the free agents, you know, they put so much pressure on themselves, they're not the same guy. After the first year, they relax, and then they are. And I think that's what Stanton did. I mean, he was a free agent, but everybody knows what kind of money he's making, and everybody had all these great expectations. And I think that's just it, where he's putting the pressure on him. At some point he'll relax. But, you know, he's going from a place in Miami, a small market, and, you know, on a team that he never had a winning season in any year he was there. So he never played any meaningful games in the month of September. And all of a sudden, he's on a team that's expected to win.
So the Yankees clearly looks like they won the offseason with Giancarlo Stanton. So are they too good to look this bad for too long?
You know, I thought people got carried away a little bit with the Yankees. It's almost like, well, you know, what they do with the pitching staff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like they got, you know, Garrett Cole or some of these other guys like they I got that they should have. I really think Boston's a better team, just a better rotation, better all-around players on the field. So we'll see. And I think the Yankees are a very good team. I don't think they're a lights-out team. I mean, I wouldn't put them in the same category as say, the Houston Astros.
We're talking to Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports. Okay, any young players you're excited to watch here early in the season, early picks for Rookie of the Year?
I mean, right now you wonder how many awards that, you know, Ohtani will win. He wanted to win rookie MVP and Cy Young all the same year. When a kid comes up from Atlanta, he'll be very exciting to watch. You know, those two guys jump out. It's almost like you can hand the Rookie of the Year award, you know, right now to Ohtani. And we'll see if Ohtani lives up to the hype. He's not up yet, but he should be up any time.
It's funny that with Ohtani, there's been so much hype about his coming. I almost feel like he's not a rookie. He's a household name in my head.
Yeah, because usually these guys that come over to Japan are, you know, well-established stars, whether it's Hideo Nomo or Ichiro Suzuki, that sort of thing. But this kid's only 23 years old. You know, and I think people forget, too, is that if he just waited 2 years, he could have got over $200 million in free agency as an unrestricted free agent. But he wanted to come over here so badly, you know, he forfeit all that kind of money. I mean, he's just making the minimum salary of $545 and having the time of his life.
Amazing. Well, Bob Nightingale from USA Today Sports, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your being here on The Boss and the Gloss.
All right, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is the standout in every dimension thus far here in the early 20 games of the season. So,
by far.
Yeah.
And I love that Bob brought up that point of he took $3 million when had he waited a few more years, he's due for the $200 million max.
Right.
I mean, that's a big
difference. Was eager to get here.
He was ready, and you got to love that.
He
just wants to play. And he, you know, if he continues on this pace, he will get that. Mm-hmm. He will get that contract.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the Boston Gloss. When we come back, we'll start diving into some NFL talk with the draft looming a week from Thursday. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, it was a good hour, number one. We covered a lot of the landscape of sports. Mm-hmm. Great to hear from Bob Nightingale of USA Today Sports about all things baseball, and fun early in the first half of the hour to talk a little NBA with you, particularly since you'd been at that Rockets game last night. You were off there smooching on the Kiss Cam. All the things that went down there.
Keep bringing that up. That's not my favorite.
It's a hard topic not to revisit. I mean, Ron keeps bringing it up. He's going smooch in the other room. He's making faces over there, perking his lips up.
I was just to remind you to keep rolling with it.
Just keep rolling with it.
Thank you, Ron. I so appreciate that. Also, what I love, though, is we had so much NBA talk, and everyone has completed game one of the playoffs. I mean, tonight we're going to get into game two.
That's right.
That's a lot of fodder for game one.
Yes, and the playoffs are electric. It's a whole other season for the NBA.
It's 2 months.
It's so fun, though. It's really the best time when these players raise their game. They play with far more intensity for a full game. It's a really exciting window.
It is. I love the old format with the first round, the 1-8-2-7-3-6 yep. round, was 5 games. That's mm-hmm. how it used to be when the right. Rockets won their championship.
Right.
This, you know, all being
it
7 games.
It is a long cycle.
It is
cycle.
Long, but it's all about Shohei the money, mm-hmm. right? So,
well, we also go. Last night at the Rockets game, Patrick Reed was there.
Patrick
Masters
Reed,
champion.
Masters champ. Yes.
Do you have his green jacket on?
He had his green jacket on. He took the first shot, which goes to charity. He didn't make it, but nonetheless, his money still goes to
took a
to
long
charity.
Shot, or was it a free throw shot?
It was a free throw.
So he's a better putter than he is a free throw shooter.
Clearly. But this was funny. He signed several golf balls, and then Clutch the Bear, the Rockets mascot, was going to throw them into the stands like they do with T-shirts and basketballs.
Sure.
I'm thinking, down go the people who can't catch. But actually, it worked out nice. The Bear just went up into the stands and handed autographed balls to people, which was really cool.
Well, hour number two about to get underway, and we're going to talk a lot about the NFL. We're going to dive deeply into the NFL, and then we're going to talk some NFL draft. So it should be a great hour two.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.